I've had on my heart just recently a subject that perhaps is a little long for this afternoon, but we could just look at a little bit of it. This weekend has been one of very practical ministry, I believe. And I was wondering about just continuing for a few moments in that same vein. I'd like to turn to John chapter 12. We've already referred to these verses, but I just want to read them again. John chapter 12. And we'll read from verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been raised from the dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then Mary took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And then those verses we read earlier too in Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. And we'll just read verse 3 again. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Now, thinking of this verse. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Well, what I had before me particularly was the thought of the Christian home. You know, I believe that the Christian home has a tremendous influence on the assembly. And what we see here in these verses that I've just been reading are samples of Christian homes. First that of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, and that of Aquila and Priscilla. And it's very interesting to trace through the Word of God the thought of the home. And you know, it's very interesting as you go through the New Testament, you find that you have homes that were devoted to the Lord Jesus and His interests. And I think that's something that should exercise each one of us. We know that here in this room there are many homes represented. Is it our exercise to have homes that are devoted to the Lord Jesus and to His interests? Well, that was certainly true of this house in Bethany. And you know, if you look in Acts chapter 10, you find the house of Cornelius. And there the Word of God was preached. And then when you go to Acts 16, you find the home of Lydia and the home of the Philippian jailer. And what characterized them? That's what we had before us earlier this afternoon. Hospitality. And then, you know, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you find there the house of Chloe. And that home was very concerned about the abuses that were going on in the Corinthian assembly. And then further on in the book of Corinthians, you come to the last chapter, the house of Stephanus, and it tells us there that they were addicted to the service of the saints. And so over and over again in the scriptures you find these various homes that were devoted to the Lord and His interests. And certainly that's what you find here in this 12th chapter. And you know, I think it's wonderful to see that in the chapter before, John chapter 11, you'll see the conditions that existed in Israel at that time. Notice what it says, just to read a couple of verses. Just take me a moment here to find an example. Verse 57, the very last verse. Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he was, that's Jesus, he should show it, and that he that they might take him. And then there's another verse here too, verse 53. Then from that day forth they took counsel together to put him to death. So here were the this was the condition of things at that particular time. The people of Israel, they didn't want the Lord Jesus. They wanted to cast him out. They wanted to get rid of him. And yet how wonderful that there was a home where the Lord was honored, there was a home where he was cherished, and there was a home where he was obeyed. And you know, aren't we living in a similar time right now? We know the world has cast out the Lord. They don't want him. They don't want him in the school. They don't want him in the business place. They don't want him in the government. They want him out. But you know, do we have a place for him in our home? I think that's so important today. And you find that here was a place in Bethany where the Lord felt welcome. You know, I think of that verse too in Revelation chapter 3. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. The Lord wants to have fellowship with us. He wants our hearts. He wants a place where he can feel comfortable. And how wonderful here in this little story that the Lord felt welcome there in Bethany. And there was Lazarus, that one that had been raised from the dead. What a testimony to what the Lord had done, raising that man from the dead. He could say, I am the resurrection. The Lord says there in the chapter just before, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And there was Lazarus, a living example of what the Lord can do. And you know, aren't we in a certain sense like that too? There was a time when we were dead in trespasses and in sins, but the Lord saved us, and he brought us into a place of blessing, and now we can be a testimony for him. Well, that was Lazarus. And then there was Martha. And we were saying earlier that here in this chapter, I believe Martha is in her proper place. She's serving the Lord. She wants to give him the very best that she has. She was no doubt a housekeeper that enjoyed making meals and so on. And here she is serving the Lord. And then, of course, there is Mary. And Mary is in her usual place. Where is it? At the Lord's feet. We know in Luke chapter 10, I think it is, there she sat at the Lord's feet. Martha wasn't too happy at that particular time. She thought that her sister was wasting her time. Why wasn't she in the kitchen helping getting the meal ready? But you know, the Lord had to say, Martha, Martha, one thing is needful, and Mary has desired that good part that shall not be taken from her. Yes, she wanted to learn more of the Lord, and so she was at his feet. But here, Martha, I believe, was not like that. She wasn't being resentful, and she was just simply serving the Lord. And Mary, not only at his feet, but wanting to give him the treasures of her heart. And so she takes pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and she anoints his feet. So how wonderful to see it. The Lord was honored. He was cherished in this house, in this home. Well, we can't take too much time, but when you go to Romans chapter 16 in connection with Aquila and Priscilla, again, we're just sort of repeating what we said earlier. But here's another home. And this is the home of Aquila and Priscilla. And you'll notice that it says there in that fifth verse particularly, likewise greet the church that is in their house. You know, it must have been just a small company. I wouldn't know if it was 25 or 30 or whatever. But Aquila and Priscilla, they opened up their home to the saints. And I have no doubt there was the breaking of bread there. And there was a reading. And there was prayer. And no doubt they were very hospitable. And what a wonderful thing that is. Hospitality. I've often told the story, and I hope people don't mind telling me, but me telling the story again. But my wife and I were over in England in 1969, and there was a little assembly there in Bow, and we got to know this one couple very well. And it didn't matter who was out to the breaking of bread on Lord's Day. They invited everyone who didn't have a place to go to their home. And you know, their home was very, very small. The living room couldn't have been much wider than my outstretched arm, maybe a little bit bigger. But you know, they always invited anyone that wanted to come for dinner. And sometimes there were maybe 10 or 15 that hadn't been there before, you know, that were there for dinner. But you know, they didn't worry about how much food they had. You were welcome. And I want to tell you that that assembly prospered because of those dear Christians. Some here in this room know exactly what I'm talking about. And that's the kind of people that Aquila and Priscilla were. And so it says here, the church that was in their house. And you know, I believe that there are probably places like that today. Maybe not here in North America, but I guarantee if you went to China today, you would probably find believers who have opened up their home to the saints and have them in for a Bible study and for singing the Word of God, or singing hymns, I should say, and having a happy time trying to encourage the saints. Well, that's the kind of people that Aquila and Priscilla were. And, of course, we know that in the home, the father is very important, or the husband. Aquila here was the husband, and no doubt he had a real responsibility to guide the home and to do what the Lord would have him to do. And I believe there are very important verses in the Word of God as to how the husband should act. And I don't have time to go into all these things, but if you went to Psalm 128, I think you find there what should characterize the Christian husband who would be the head of the home. Psalm 128. And we'll just read one verse. It says there in the first verse, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways." Verse 3, "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house." In other words, I believe what characterizes the husband is the fear of the Lord. Isn't that important? For each one of us here who are fathers, each one of us here who are husbands, do we fear the Lord? You know, it says in Proverbs, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And so what a responsible place we have as husbands and as fathers to fear the Lord. Do our children see that? Do they see in us a desire to open the Word and to talk about it and to discuss the Lord's interests? Well, we find here that that's what characterized this man, the fear of the Lord. And of course, the wife is the same. We won't take time, but if you went to Proverbs 31... you would find there the virtuous woman, and the same thing is said of the wife. It says that she feared the Lord. She feared the Lord. So how wonderful it is when the husband and the wife act together. And we were mentioning yesterday that Aquila is mentioned three times in the Scriptures, and Priscilla is mentioned three times. So there was that beautiful balance between the husband and the wife. Well, I'm just going to take a moment to take a look at a couple of other homes, just briefly. The next one I would like to look at is in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And I'm thinking here of the home of Abraham. And you'll notice what it says about Abraham here. In verse 7, "The Lord appeared unto Abraham, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, and appeared who appeared unto him. And next verse. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east, and so on. Two things that characterized Abraham. What was it? One, the altar, and secondly, the tent. And isn't it very important for us in our homes to remember that we are pilgrims? You know, we have there in 1 Peter, where we were reading earlier, in chapter 2, it says, therefore, strangers and pilgrims. That's our position in this world, isn't it? We're strangers away from home, and we're pilgrims on the way home. Well, Abraham here, he had that pilgrim character. But besides that, he built this altar. You'll notice there it mentions the altar. He builded an altar unto the Lord. And how important that is in our home, too. You know, to give the Lord that first place, He wants our hearts. And He wants us to give thanks to Him and to worship Him. You know, often in our prayers, we're concerned about our needs and what the Lord can do for us. But you know, the Lord likes to hear songs of thanksgiving and praise. Do we take time to just thank Him, praise Him, sing about Him? You know, I think sometimes that singing is getting to be a lost art. You know, we have so many things now, MP3 players and CDs and all that. We don't sing like we used to. I remember when I was young, hearing my mother sing as she was stirring the pots of stew or wherever it was. And something that seems to be lacking today, singing and making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Well, Abraham here, he had his altar, the place where he could worship the Lord, give Him that first place. Well, then you have another home, and this time in Daniel chapter 6, I think you know what I'm going to say. I'm just sort of whizzing through this pretty quickly. But in Daniel chapter 6, we have the story of Daniel there. And we know that he was surrounded by those that hated him because he loved the Lord and because he desired His glory. And we know, too, that these men there in Babylon, what they wanted to do was to find occasion against Daniel so that he'd get rid of him. But what does it say about him? Notice verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Isn't that wonderful? Daniel was a man of prayer. He didn't just do it because he was in trouble. It was what he had constantly done, day after day. He prayed in the morning, he prayed at noon, he prayed at night. Maybe he prayed much more than that. It might have been 33 times a day. But Daniel was a man of prayer. And we know what wonderful visions the Lord gave Daniel of the future because he was so much a man in dependence upon God. And so our homes should not be one where there is worship, but there should be homes, too, where prayer is important. How much time do we pray? You know, I think, I speak to myself. I remember my father-in-law. Sometimes he would just steal upstairs, and he'd be on his knees for half an hour, praying for someone perhaps in the assembly, or perhaps even for his family. But how much time do we spend on our knees? You know, we're living in a day of rushing and hustle and bustle. We need to spend time on our knees. Daniel was that kind of a man. Well, let's turn now to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Again, we can't take time to go into all these things. In Daniel 6, we don't have an actual person brought before us, but we do have a home brought before us. And I'll just read these verses briefly. Notice what it says in verse 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou risest, liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them with, for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. So here we have a home where the Word of God was honored and loved. And you'll notice here that it says in the seventh verse, thou shalt teach, or I think the word could be impress. Thou shalt impress upon thy children diligently, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. You know, we can talk about so many things. Technology, cars, vacations, and all the rest. But you know, here they were instructed to talk about the Lord's things, about the Word of God, when they were standing, when they were sitting, and when they were lying down. In other words, the Lord Jesus was the object of the home. And how much we need this. We need to read the Word. I know there are young parents here. Read the Word of God to your dear children. I was brought up in a home, I'm very thankful, where my mother spent 20 minutes every day before going to school reading the Word with us, telling us about what the Lord Jesus said and how much we need this. And you find here that this is what is important. And it was to be bound around their hand, and it was to be as frontlets between their eyes. In other words, whatever they did was to be governed by the Word of God. Whatever they saw was to be governed by the Word of God. Can we say that? Is what we look at, is it governed by the Word of God? I sometimes come across things in our home. I didn't know we're there, but the things that I saw were not what should be there. They had to be gotten rid of. Well, we need to be guided. What we do with our hands, where our feet go, should all be guided by the Word of God. Because you'll notice here, it wasn't just their hands and their eyes, but it says in verse 7, when thou walkest by the way. So it had to govern the feet too. Again, I'm rushing over this. And then you'll notice in the ninth verse, it says, thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and upon thy gates. In other words, the Word of God should be a testimony to those in the neighborhood. And so the people around should see that we love the Word of God and want to please the Lord and do what is right. So the Word of God is important in the home. And now just one other thing. 1 Corinthians, I know our time is about up. 1 Corinthians, the last chapter. Yes, the 15th verse of the last chapter of 1 Corinthians. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. We had earlier yesterday, I think, that ministry is the thought of service. So here was a household that was addicted to the service of the saints. How wonderful. Well, to just sum up very briefly, we have then a home that was characterized by worship. We had a home that was characterized by prayer. We had a home that was characterized by the Word of God, and one that was characterized by the service of the saints. What a wonderful example we have in the Scriptures of what should characterize our homes. And so I just say that I believe that our homes can be a tremendous influence on the assembly. And if we're careless in our homes, there's not going to be the leading of the Spirit as there should be in the assembly. And so what an important thing it is to make the Lord the object in our homes, and to be a bright light and a testimony for Him until He comes.
Hymn number 318, O Lamb of God, still keep us close to Thy piercing side. It's only there in safety and peace we can abide.
O Lamb of God, still keep us. Close to